Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to
Believe It
or Not,
the show where we believe it
or perhaps not.
What do you think, audience?
You tell us in the comments.
Yeah, in the comments. Send us an email, send us something. Let us know your level of belief on a scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 100. I don't know, however you want to do it.
Although I hope you don't believe this guy, because this guy is a real piece of garbage pants.
He better not be talking about me.
No, the guy we're going to talk about today.
Oh, thank God. Okay. I was worried.
Yeah. Oh. So I call this guy Miserable MacArthur with a typo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this MacArthur Park?
Oh, I wish. No, this is John MacArthur, John Fullerton MacArthur Jr. It's his full name, his birth name.
JFMJ?
JFMJ. But apparently he wants us to call him John MacArthur or Pastor MacArthur, but...
Johnny boy, Jimmy MacArthur?
Johnny Miserable MacArthur is what we'll call him.
Okay.
He's an American.
I don't know anything about this guy.
Okay.
I'm going to practice that right now.
He's a sad man. He's a well-known theologian, pastor,
okay.
American pastor.
Not that well-known.
People like him. The Christians think he's a great preacher, and I don't really like him that much.
All right. Where is he from? What's he about? Who is this guy that I've never heard of and apparently is a big deal, but I don't know who he is?
He is the pastor of a church called Grace Community Church.
Anyone can be a pastor of a church.
Yeah, and especially called Grace Community Church. Anybody can do that. From Sun Valley, California, that's where the church is, and he's been a pastor there since 1969.
Nice.
69.
The summer of mutual loving, if you know what I mean.
And he's also the Chancellor Emeritus of Masters University in Santa Clara and the Masters Seminary. He is a Calvinist. Do you know what a Calvinist is?
We have talked about Calvinism before.
And he's like very much, very Calvinist. we'll get into some of his theology.
So he's been a pastor since 69. How old is this fucking guy?
He was born in 1939.
Oh, my God.
He's older than me.
He's still kicking?
He's still kicking.
Oh my goodness!
When I was googling,
wheel him out, and he's on like oxygen.
No, he's thriving. He is a thriving man. When I was googling him,
Pastor Slay.
Yeah, the one prompt came up: how did John MacArthur die? But it's because there's other famous people named John MacArthur in the past, and I was like, he's dead, and it's like, no, he's still alive. All right,
well, that was like. Bob Barker died recently.
Yeah.
And I thought he'd already died. And I was talking with Cody and I was like, I thought he'd already died.
Yeah, same.
But no, not to like besmirch the Bob Barker legacy. It's just.
Well, he was a sex predator, but.
He was also like, what, 90 something?
99, yeah.
99?
Yeah.
Too old.
Too old, yeah.
And too sex predatory.
Yeah. So John MacArthur, though, was the grandson of a Canadian Anglican minister named Harry MacArthur, who died in 1950. And his dad was a Baptist radio preacher named Jack MacArthur, or John MacArthur Sr., but he went by Jack, and he was from Calgary, Alberta, my old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
And his mom, John MacArthur's mom, is Irene Dockendorf. Irene Dockendorf MacArthur, and she was born in Los Angeles, and then that's where he was also born. Johnny MacArthur was a athlete. He liked the sports, and so he was hoping to pursue that, and he got a couple scholarships, but then his dad, Jack, was like, no, that's going to pass, and you want to go into something that's going to keep you afloat, something, a sure thing, be a pastor, be a radio pastor like me. And so follow in my footsteps. And he's like, okay. So he went to Bob Jones University, a very famously racist school.
Couldn't he have just done, like, you know, 10 years of trying to be a pro athlete and then gone to Bible school, and it would have made no fucking difference?
Exactly. And plus, like, you know what I mean? If he's like, well, radio's the way, it's like, well, then be an athlete for as long as you can, and then be a sports radio host, and then you're not ruining lives.
Well, yeah, I mean, that too. But I'm also just like, an athlete, you know, it's a finite time. It's kind of like, you know, there's an expiration date for it. Something like preaching, there's no expiration date.
No.
Look at him now. He's in his 90s. He's still doing it.
Yeah, shouldn't exactly.
Be. It's like with politicians. They shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But we still have these old senile ghouls, you know, making decisions for people.
Yeah.
I still don't know how many of them even know what the internet really is.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, the one politician, I keep forgetting her name, but there was a video recently of her, like, being told where to vote and, like, what to press and stuff because she's so gone. And it's like, that's sad, but...
Is this the one where I think the family ended up... It was something... I don't know if they had to put her in, like, under conservatorship or something. There was something where, like, she's, like, borderline has dementia, but...
She has dementia, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but she's still a senator and able to, like, pass laws and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Why is this okay?
Yeah. And it's, like it's sad if that's your grandma. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course. But if that's my grandma, I'm like, we should probably take away her political privileges.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, his dad was a big pastor guy. He wanted to be an athlete, but then he went to Bob Jones racist school, and then after that he did end up he switched schools to pursue sports again, and then went back to the ministry.
Okay, so he flip-flopped.
Yeah.
Bob Jones is a hilarious school to go to. What school did you go to? I went to Bob Jones.
Bob Jones, yeah. My friend went to Bob Jones.
Really? Where is Bob Jones?
One of the Carolinas, North Carolina, I believe.
North Carolina, Bob Jones. You can go to Bob Evans, and then you can go to Bob Jones.
Yeah. Bob Jones, when my friend was going there, they still had rules against interracial dating, and that was in the 90s.
Ooh.
Yeah. And, so they used to not allow black people to attend. And then they did, but they're like, stay away from our white girls. And then eventually they had to stop doing that. It has also Bob Jones.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Bob Jones has ties to the pro-life movement, too, because it's trying to get they still wanted to get money from the government, even though they're a racist school. Mm-hmm. So they pretty much designed the moral majority, the radical right, but they knew they couldn't get as many people as they wanted to around racism and rallying around their right to be racist. So they invented the problem of abortion, which nobody really cared about before that. Mm-hmm. So that's the school that trained this guy's mind. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow. So cool dude alert. Let's see here. During his second year at Talbot? Oh, yeah. So he ended up going to a Methodist college after Bob Jones.
So he didn't do very well at Bob Jones? Or was it because he left for sports?
It was because he left for sports. He got a scholarship at another Christian college. Okay. And then, he met his wife Patricia there, and then they got married, and then afterwards he started the church in 1969, and he also started his radio program, the Grace to You radio program, and now it's the Grace to You YouTube channel, which is just videos of his sermons and some talks that he does at Masters University. Yeah,
the Grace to You radio program.
Yeah. It's a very, very 60s and 70s name, and it's also a very, like, ironic, considering the way he preaches is not very graceful. He's not a graceful man.
Is he a very, like, angry, like, loud, kind of mean preacher?
Yeah, he's angry. He's very boring, I think. He's not like he's not like those cool fire and brimstone pastors where he's, like, slamming the pulpit and stuff.
How can he be angry and boring?
I don't know, because they think he's smart. He uses big words. He talks slow, and he like does these big, like, well-worded sermons, but they're still rooted in hate and anger. And he's like I said, he's very Calvinist, so he's very like, it's all about not so much free will, but we're all destined. You know, God has a destiny for each of us. He's put us. If you're a Christian, that means that God chose you. It doesn't mean that you chose God. He picked you to become a Christian.
So then why do anything?
Yeah, exactly. People who aren't Christians, it's because God is hard in their hearts and they're unable to hear the gospel.
Cool. So this comes back. I feel like every time, I feel like more and more, the more and more we delve into this, the more I'm just like, so much of it is, why do anything then?
Yeah.
You know, why be a good person? Why believe anything? Why proselytize? Yeah. Why go to church? You don't need to do anything. Like, if it's destined that you're Christian and that's just what God wanted, that doesn't fucking matter. You know, if you can just at the end of your life say you're like, you know, open your heart to Jesus and everything is forgiven, then why do be a good person your whole life? Like, the whole idea too, like, about, you know, how do you have morality without religion? It's the same kind of thing. And just like, what are you talking about? How can you have proper morality when all you have to do is say, sorry, I did bad stuff one day?
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't make any sense.
Nope. And John MacArthur will say, you can't be a good person. No person was ever good but God, but Jesus. So if you're trying to be a good person, that means you think you're God and you're sinning because you're trying to be a good person. You have to just admit that you're unworthy, and you only need the only way that you can be saved is through grace, through faith. And if you do any works, then you're an idol worshiper, and you're going to hell.
That's not the message I got. I got you just gotta be bad to the bone, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's good, so you may as well be bad. Yeah.
He is considered one of the top, the 25 most influential pastors in the U.S.
Do we have that list, the 25 most influential pastors in the U.S.?
I don't have the list. I know he's on it, but I don't have the list
in front of
me.
This might be a fun little countdown to do sometime.
Yeah, that's true. Or we just work through all of them.
Yeah, it would be like a Letterman top 10. It's like, top 10 most influential pastors in the U.S.
Sorry, not in the U.S. 25 most influential pastors of the last 50 years is the list.
Oh, okay. He's on there. Yeah, that's another list.
Yeah, he's written a lot of books and some textbooks for Bible colleges. Mm-hmm. I'm spitting a lot, and and he's he's thought of as a great spiritual leader. Here are some of his ideas. Of course, the authority of Scripture, he's very big on. The Bible is the only thing you gotta...
The Bible's the only thing. Why are you writing so many fucking books, buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought the Bible was the only one.
Yeah, the Bible's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's the number one thing. We have to always go back to the Bible, and we have to, you know, judge everything based on the Bible. Mm. And he wants us to render full submission to Scripture.
Okay.
And you might say, but that doesn't. But that would mean you're pro-slavery. We'll get to that.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. He is a Bob Jones alumnus.
Yep. But some of his theological beliefs are cessationism, which has caused a lot of Christians to not like him.
That's good. I'm glad for that.
Yeah. This is something I agree with him on, but for completely different reasons.
Wait a minute. Okay, continue.
Yeah, cessationism is the belief that miracles and supernatural occurrences no longer happen. Mm. I wouldn't say no longer. I would say they have never happened. But he says that visions, voices from heaven, miracle dreams, all those things are just your imagination. Anything like speaking in tongues is what it is. Like, he's right. It's just you talking gibberish. Right. Prophecies are just like people trying to get famous.
It's funny because it's just an excuse to be like, it doesn't happen now, but it did way back when.
Exactly. Me. Yeah. Trust me, it happened back in the day. But he says that, and he basically any preachers who do miracles and healings and stuff are con artists, which is true. And that he says
what about
that
all the ones in the Bible.
Yeah, well, because there's verses that say this miracles will stop. He says that that thing has happened, which it's convenient to say that miracles used to happen, but they don't happen. It's like, well, when did they stop? When cameras were invented? When we started recording things better? Exactly. I think he says it's like basically people who knew Jesus personally, they could do miracles in their lifetime, and then once there stopped being people who knew him personally, there stopped being miracles. Hmm. So like he was so holy that he like, you know, let them get a little bit of his holiness, but
let him get a little bit of his holiness, eh?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Let's see. He says he's a complementarian, which means that he believes that. Oh no, I guess he is a complementarian. So yeah, believes that men and women are equal in the eyes of God, but they have different roles. So they're not equal at all.
So this is this is saying you don't believe in equality with extra steps.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, men and women are equal, but women should stay home and bear all the children and do all the chores and everything that the man shouldn't have to do.
Yeah, and he definitely says that women can't preach. He's really against women preaching.
Why?
Because the Bible says women can't preach.
Why?
Because Paul was a chauvinist, chauvinist.
Is it harder to control and sex abuse them if the woman pastor is in charge?
I guess so. Yeah. I was reading something that, like, before people like Paul came along, early Christianity was way more feminist. And then, that's the first followers were women. And then people like Paul came along and were like, actually, let's inject some sexism. And that kind of changed Christianity from then
on. Actually, Jesus only likes hanging out with the boys.
Yeah. Yeah. There's stuff about his Christology. He had some controversy around the way he viewed Christ, and people called him a heretic for it. In the 1980s, MacArthur argues that confessing Jesus Christ as Lord is a necessary component of free grace theology. You must receive Jesus Christ for who he is, both Lord and Savior, to be truly saved. Okay, that seems like just regular Christianity.
I was going to say, where's the controversial point here?
Yeah. Oh, it should never be presented merely as once saved, always saved, but you have to have Jesus as your Lord. Okay, so there's some people who say that once you're like, hey, I'm a Christian, Jesus, come on into my heart, you're welcome on in, then you're a Christian forever. And
you have to keep re-upping.
He's a young earth creationist. course, because he's a bit of a literacist, so of course he's going to be young Earth creationist. Yeah, so back to gender and sexuality. He's very homophobic, one of the most homophobic people that there is, and that's saying a lot for Christians. But he's not like the God hates F slurs people.
Right.
Yeah, not in his approach anyway. He is. He thinks that because he says that no one is gay, that there's no such thing as a gay person.
Okay, so he's just trying to invalidate them by denying their existence.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And he'll do the same for, like, gender. Like, trans people don't exist. They're just, you know.
Yeah, have you seen the things about our, you know, our classic rock musician Alice Cooper?
Yeah.
And the people recently?
Yeah. Yeah, but he's been a born-again Christian for a long time, so I'm not completely surprised.
I knew that. But he always seemed like he was at least somewhat of a decent person.
Yeah.
It's just also just, like, crazy. The guy who built, like, his career on kind of gender bending and, like, wearing dresses and things like that on stage. And then being the one who ends up being, you know, pretty anti-trans.
So. Yeah, it's always sad when, those people, like... Yeah, there's a few comedians and stuff, too, where it's like, you used to tell so many jokes, like, arguing for gay rights and how stupid homophobia is, and then now all of a sudden you're transphobic, and it's like, it just
makes me mad. I mean, there's a lot to be said for people getting stuck in, like, weird, you know, rabbit holes online and, you know, getting these echo chambers, and I'm sure senility has something to do with it for some of these older people.
Yeah. He's also like I said, he's very sexist. I've seen so many sermons of him, like, watching, like, for the videos that I've done, because he's in a lot of the videos I've made, and he hates women in the workplace. He thinks that it's taking jobs away from men who need jobs, and he thinks that they don't have what it takes to, you know, be leaders and things like that. That's not what women are for. They're not supposed to be leaders in the workplace. They're supposed to be, you know, keeping your home, things like that. So he hates all that. He hates wokeism, and
these things are just so, like, arbitrary and unnecessary that I don't understand.
Yeah,
it's like why? Because you think that they shouldn't be.
Obviously. When COVID happened, he was very against any sort of regulation from the government. He thought, you know, that's overstep. Trying to keep his congregation alive is way too out of the question for him.
Yeah. What do you bet he probably received vaccines or treatments and stuff?
Oh, probably, yeah.
I can almost guarantee he did.
Oh, yeah. But he's going to preach that other people shouldn't do the same. He's against religious freedom. He does not like the idea of religious freedom. Okay. Because...
So what does he want, then?
He wants the Christians to be on top. He said, I told our congregation a few weeks ago that I could never really concern myself with religious freedom. I wouldn't fight for religious freedom because I won't fight for idolatry. Why would I fight for the devil to have as many false religions as possible and all of them to be available to everybody? So he wants Christianity to be the main one. Religious freedom is bad because it lets people choose what religion they believe in.
But isn't forcing one religion on everybody bad too, though? Because then there's no choice and no free will.
Yeah. But he wants his version of Christianity to be the number one version of Christianity.
But I guess he believes in destiny. So then, how can you be against things if it doesn't matter anyway?
Because
it's destiny, right?
So exactly.
Again, we're getting into these cyclical arguments over and over again with this stuff. I feel like
And he's what did he call? He calls himself a sovereign Baptist, which means that he's not in it.
Obey the king.
Yeah, he's not in a denomination. It's just, and I think, and I could be wrong, but because there's independent Baptists, and I don't think he wants to be associated with the other independent Baptists, but that's what he is.
So he's like a libertarian Christian.
Yeah, exactly. So he's his own, he doesn't want to be told what to do by a denomination, and he probably thinks that all denominations are too liberal. He was
Do you think if... if he got pulled over by God, he'd be like, I don't recognize you. I am a sovereign Baptist, I believe.
I'm not required to show ID.
I know my rights.
Yeah. Oh, those guys. My favorite recently is the video of the guy in Toronto that was pulled over. And he's like, am I being charged with a misdemeanor or a felony? And the guy's like, well, we're not in America, so neither, because that's not how it works here. He's like, can I see your ID? And he's like, I am not required to show ID. You're operating a motor vehicle. I am allowed to ask you. Like, it's just so, like, I don't like cops either, but come on, man.
Like, different country, my dude.
Yeah.
People are wild. People are wild.
Yeah. let's see. Oh, yeah. So another thing with the sexism, he was playing this like word association game at some conference he was at, and they would say a pastor, and he would have to say in a quick, kind of succinct way what he thought of this pastor.
He's just like roasting them.
Yeah, basically. And one of the pastors was Beth Moore, who is a woman, no less. Whoa. And he doesn't like this idea. So his response was, go home. Because he didn't like the idea that she was out there preaching. He wanted her to go home.
Wow.
And then he went, yeah. Yeah, he said there is
congregation cheer and clap for him?
Probably, yeah.
Assholes.
There is no case that can be made biblically for a woman preacher. Period. Paragraph. End of discussion. Why would he say paragraph?
Because he's an idiot. That's why.
Yep. Yep. He also had the same one set of Stephen Furtick that he is unqualified.
Stephen Furtick.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, I saw another sermon with Stephen Furtick where he was like, he's talking about this because Stephen Furtick then went on to name his next book Unqualified. which is funny. A pretty smart move. But in the sermon he was talking about, he's like, yeah, and then there was this pastor at a conference, and somebody mentioned me, and he said I was unqualified, which really hurt because I really like this pastor and look up to him a lot. It's like, why do you look up to this guy? Why would you say that? This is a known asshole. But he looks up to him.
That's a hard thing. I think if you're in any kind of like notoriety as a you know, public figure in the Christian world, you're probably an asshole to some degree. So
yeah,
it's just different shades.
Yeah, exactly.
Monster's gonna monster.
Monster's gonna monster. A little racist, this man. Have you heard of the whole curse of Shem and the curse? Sorry, the curse of Ham and the curse of Cain.
I believe
the racist
so, yes.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So he buys
how,
into
like, the whole race was like cursed to be inferior. And yeah. That's why black people aren't great
yeah.
or whatever. Right.
Yeah. 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 He said, yeah, basically he buys into all that. So there was this old middle ages idea that the world, cause there was three known continents at the time. And so, but the world was split into three continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe. And they were each inhabited by the descendants of Noah. So Ham was Africa, Japheth was Europe, and then Asia was the other one. And he buys into this like pseudoscience crap of Ham is the one who laughed at Noah when he was naked, when he was drunk. So he was cursed, and they went on to become black people. And they went on to, and part of the curse was that they were destined for like servanthood.
Right.
And
did, I forget, was Noah punished for being a drunk, naked man?
No, no, he was not. He was always called a good person.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though he got so fucking trashed that he passed out butt-ass naked in front of his kids.
Yeah.
But his kids are the ones who got in trouble.
Yeah. It says, right. It seems that Ham became a more servile people and may have moved south and wound up in Africa.
It sounds like he just went no contact with his dad because his dad was a drunk piece of shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what that feels like.
Yeah. And he has defended slavery because, I mean, the Bible's pro-slavery. Mm-hmm. And yeah. He said, it's a little strange that we have such an aversion to slavery because historically there have been abuses. There have been abuses in marriage. We don't have an aversion to marriage, particularly because there have been abuses. Wow. There are parents who abuse their children.
Is he implying that slavery is good, but sometimes there's slavery with abuse? Is that what he's implying?
Yeah, that's what he's saying, yeah. Yeah, to throw out slavery as a concept simply because there have been abuses, I think,
oh my God,
is to miss the point. There can also be benefits for many people, poor people, perhaps people who weren't educated, perhaps people who had no other opportunity.
To working... make them slaves?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So we have to go back and take a more honest look at slavery and understand that God has, in a sense, legitimized it when it's handled correctly. Slavery is not objectionable if you have the right master. It's the perfect scenario.
Holy shit.
Top 25 most influential pastors of the last 50 years.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were going to be getting a defending slavery is good argument today. Holy shit.
To be honest, I didn't think we would when I started reading about this guy either. I knew this guy. I knew he was, I figured he was probably racist, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how he spoke about abuse in marriage and how that doesn't mean we dismiss marriage? He doesn't seem to be that against abuse in marriage anyway. Either way, like, because in 2001, a member of his church came and told people that her husband was abusing her and her and their children. He was sexually abusing the children and abusing her. And his response was that she shouldn't leave him, that marriage is divine and God blesses marriage and divorce is wrong. And then when he when she did end up divorcing him, he publicly said in the church that people were to have no contact with her because she went against God. And she went against, marriage, the sanctity of marriage, by leaving her husband. And
I'm of two minds. Like, first of all, that's a terrible thing to do. Piece of shit. Yeah. Horrible person.
Yeah.
Part of me is also just like, good. You're not a part of that fucking toxic piece of shit community. Get out of there. Imagine if she stayed. And I mean, he could have injured her worse. He could have killed her. So, man, fuck these people. Fuck these people who think that, you know, their imaginary Sky Daddy Bible book is teaching them everything they need to know. And if you go against it, you're an awful person. Even when there are very clearly horrible things being done to you and defended by that supposedly moral and just text.
Because this guy also was on staff at the church. Her husband was on staff at the church.
Oh, that's another thing, too. They just keep protecting them.
Yeah, he was a music teacher at the church, so he had he had contact with kids, and they didn't care.
Great.
And then he was eventually arrested. But even after he was arrested, the church stood by him. They sent out a letter. One of the guys on staff sent out a letter saying, "I'm sure you know by now, one of our own, David Gray, has been arrested. The accusations being brought against him have to do with child abuse. Most likely, these accusations come from his estranged wife, Elaine." And then went on to defend her and say that, she was... this is just her tactic in the divorce to kind of besmirch him kind of thing. Yeah. It's pretty disgusting. This all came out last year that this all happened, like came out like super publicly. I'm sure it was public in 2003 or whatever when it happened, but but it went like super viral last year, and not really a response from them, because like abuser's gonna abuse and like asshole's gonna be assholes and
monster gonna monster.
And yeah, exactly. And like people who are fans of John MacArthur, there's already something like wrong in your heart. Like, this guy preaches total depravity. He thinks that all humans are garbage. And of course, this guy's going to abuse people. Like, we all sin. Sure. Everybody sins.
Yeah. Well, so much of it is it's people who, one, like the abuse, and it's two, who just want justifications for being able to do bad things.
Yeah.
If they think they have some weird moral approval or, you know, authority approval, then they can get away with whatever they want. Yeah. That's all it is.
Exactly.
They want to have an okay from, you know, the community that they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure most of them know it's bad, but they just don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She, it's just a while. So yeah, the wife complained. Anyways, it's all sad. So that's John MacArthur in a nutshell. Any thoughts on this little classy gentleman?
No, he sucks. He's old. You should die. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Fuck I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what? I hope he, I know there's not a hell, but I wish there was sometimes for guys like him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I can tell you one thing. That's where he would be if there was one.
Yeah.
As much as they want to deny it and they think they're righteous and pure. Nah, man.
No.
Nah, buddy. You're a piece of shit.
Piece of garbage.
Yeah.
And I wish
Yeah.
Like, now you said, you know, just die or whatever, which I agree. But, like, I wish that these ideas would die with him. But you see, like, young YouTubers.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the same, preaching the same garbage mm-hmm. over and over again. Like, it's this stuff until we kill the religion.
or at least this
version of the religion, it's just going
to
keep going.
Unfortunately, I don't think going to happen. I feel like we're radicalizing people and like the small communities of these things are getting louder and louder. I don't know if they're necessarily getting bigger, but the small minorities are getting a louder voice and having more sway. So I don't know. I was thinking, though, a great YouTube collaboration would be this guy and the Hydraulic Press channel. And then we can just put his big dumb really head good. Under that big hydraulic press and see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't advocate for violence often, but
but with this guy, we'll make an exception.
Yeah.
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 And I'm not saying we do it or we want you to do it.
No. It's just something I wouldn't mind seeing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll talk to our lawyers, see if that's acceptable. But in the meantime, let's talk about some people who aren't garbage. Let's talk about our patrons.
Oh, I love them.
Oh, my God. Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for joining our beautiful Bible study where we're learning about how awful we are to the core.
We really appreciate you being here for this because we needed a witness to see just how rotten our core is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. Do you have any prayer requests? Amen.
Yes, I have some prayer requests for some lovely followers in our congregation today. I'd like to thank Sean and Michael, and Corega, and let's not forget good old Casey.
And I have a very special prayer request for Sierra. Sierra's just been doing good things and being kind to people all over the world, and just being full of heart and compassion, and we all know that that comes out of idolatry and sin. So we just really lift up Sierra. You can't be a good person, so it's a sin to try.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And let that be a lesson. Never try.
Never try. Should we do a Christian rock lyric?
We may as well listen to some music. We're already sinning.
Yeah.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
Yeah, you like Christian rock?
Sure.
Okay. Do you like screamo music, or did you ever?
I was never really a screamo guy. I was never really like a emo or pop punk kind of fan either. It was all happening when I was young, and it was never my wheelhouse, and it still isn't.
It was mine. It was mine. So pop punk and emo, definitely. They still have a very special place in my heart, both of them. And it's my heart music is pop punk and emo. But
I just I could never get in. I just, you know, couldn't commit to dyeing my hair and
learning. Oh, I did. I'll see if I can find some photos for this, but I had the black hair like over my eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
How did you see?
I just had people describe.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Makes sense.
Screamo never died in the Christian world. It's still very much around.
I mean, that kind of tracks.
Yeah. And there's this guy named Ben S. Dixon. He's good. He's talented young man.
It's a pretty funny name, Ben S. Dixon.
But he did a song. Ben Dixon balls. Ben's Dixon
in the hole.
Yeah. Oh, random thought. I had this thought last night that
yeah.
Because I was watching something about like creationism and like the whole argument that we're perfectly designed or whatever by God, and it's like, but like, how many men have you known who have accidentally sat on their balls and had to go to the hospital? I don't think that's a perfect design.
Yeah, I mean, testicular torsion is a very common thing, I guess, right?
Yeah. But speaking of so this song's called "Unworthy." And it's featuring a guy named Gauge Houghton. Gauge Houghton. Okay,
I was gonna say.
Gauge
is a pretty metal name.
Yeah, it is. It might be Gauge. It's spelled Gauge. The lyrics go as follows. Mm-hmm. How could I approach this king who's seen my sin and shame? These rags are filthy. Intentions blurry. Nothing's good in me. Nothing is good in me. From the day I was conceived, how could I approach this king who sees sin and shame? We need to see. It's time to see. We are unworthy. It's time to wake up and see. We need his mercy. We need his mercy. Unworthy stains are our works in your eyes. Your death it paid. It brought our lives, and then it goes on to talk about how much they suck and how much everybody sucks.
You know, sometimes I wonder if Christian music should just be called Big Simpin' Music.
Yeah.
Because they're all just kind of like, I'm not worthy, Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you. Will you love me back, please? Please love me. I'm not worthy.
It's like that guy on Game of Thrones after they broke him, and he was like, he would just ask for pain and stuff because he knew that's what his master wanted and
never
stuff.
Watched
and,
it, but yeah. I believe you.
Yeah.
I believe
it's pretty good. There's dragons eventually.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll just watch Hot D instead because that's all about dragons.
Oh, yeah. And Pete's Dragon. It's a good movie.
That's true. Yeah. You don't see him all the time, though. So
Pete? No, it's true. He disappears. He's invisible. Yeah.
Like someone else we know that we talk about often.
Jesus Santa Christ. Claus. Oh, Santa Claus, yeah.
Same guy, I think, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're related. They're cousins. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah,
I think
like
Santa's
that.
His older brother.
Yeah. Well, everybody, you're worthy. You're worth love. You deserve love.
If you
love yourself, if you want it. don't be sad ever.
Well, okay. You're allowed to be sad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You're allowed to do a lot of things. Don't let us tell you what to do.
Right. But I do love you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.